He was going to do it. If you need to cut his toe off to make, put it on your foot because he thought that would make you better, he would do that. That was it. He was on the ground. Hit it for him, Cole.
Bam!
That's what happened. And then he was on the ground. And then he probably changed that beat to damn. Like, you know. You know, it ain't Benny Bloss up here. I can't throw a leg out and catch that. Got me on this berm and you break checking me. So I'm pissed. But not only that, I'm confused. But I know one thing that's going to be set straight. It's coming back, Smackdude. Like, I'm just letting you know. I'm telling you. What's up, guys? You know who it is. It's your boy, JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 2 or round 7, depending on who you're looking at. But round 2 from Oakland on the schedule. To me, it's the West Coast, but it's the most East Coast dirt these boys have had all year. I loved Oakland. It's one of my favorite venues. The track kind of reminds me of like a Florida dirt, like that orange clay, like it's a little like rutted in there. Some years, if you get a lot of rain, it gets more ruts than others. But if not, I mean, I've been there and had that thing dusty in practice. So I feel like that's the most East Coast dirt besides maybe even like San Diego that they raced on this year. And it's ironically, it's been on the West Coast, especially compared to Tampa last weekend. But I thought that overall, the Oakland track, they had a short start. But overall, like it had some cool rhythm sections in there. You know, it was kind of opened up, had 90s, but 180s in there, had two sets of like legit whoops. That's been a while since I've seen that, where you had a whoop section turn Dragon's Back, which if you looked at that Dragon's Back, they added another whoop in there, which made it even tougher for those guys because they were starting to lose momentum up. But it was a big Dragon's Back turned into another big set of whoops, and you had to stay out to be able to get to that next rhythm section. So overall, the track looked fun. I knew those guys were going to be in for a night of hurt. You know, it was a long track. And they seemed like they built it steeper this year. The transitions in between, they seemed short and steep. So I think that's why a lot of guys were not quadding and maybe doing some of the other things that normally, if the track was laid out the way it should have been, I mean, in the transition, I think you would have seen guys doing what Cooper did in the main event. By the way, shout out to Coop. That was some old JS7, like, wait all day and bust it out in the first lap in the main event.
On the track. It's like Anderson made his way by Sexton. Oh, over the table. That's new.
Got to find his feet. Got to find it somewhere. So you hit him up and hitting them dudes. Like, I know they were shook. And they still didn't do it. So that means, like, it was definitely JS7 stuff. So that shout out to Cooper for jumping that. But I think guys would have done more of that kind of stuff. But it was real steep in between transitions. So overall, I thought the track looked good. Saw those guys busting out the quad. You know, Max Volan hit it in the heat race. He looked good, by the way. I was stoked to see him up there. It seems like that kid's starting to find a little bit more confident. You know, he's still struggling a little bit, but it was cool to watch him bust that thing out there. The kid looked good. So overall, Oakland, dirt was good. Track was good. So you know we was in for some good racing, and which we did. And so let's get into that right now. Another key part about this track is when you have a track that has a short start and then you got the rhythm sections back to back, you have to get a start. And, you know, when you're seeing these guys, like just like last weekend at Tampa, the track dictated that it was dictated about where you started at. Like the beginning part of the race was the most, first 100 yards was the most important part. And I would say the same thing for this racetrack. The guys that finished 1, 2, and 3, they were kind of 1, 2, and 3 out at the start. Nobody really came up through the pack like Jason did last weekend, going down and being able to run all the way back up. It was because the rhythm sections and guys can get away. They didn't have the sand section, so you didn't have to worry about that. But you would get bottled up. And if you didn't get a start, you get bottled up in both whoop sections. And the way this track was laid out, it took out a lot of the insides. Per se, the only inside that you can really go around the whole racetrack was basically, like, as far as when you had another obstacle behind it, was the first corner, which everybody went inside. But the inside of the whoops, that first set of whoops, everywhere else you had to go outside. So even though there was options for other rhythm sections, or if a guy went inside, you could try to pass him. Everything bled into where if you went to go pass a guy, even if you went inside and stuffed a guy, you were going to lose time because you wouldn't be able to hit the rhythm section. So my point is, it makes it for a one-line racetrack, which it makes it for you have to get a start. Because you block a guy in the second set after the dragon's back in those whoops, you're going to slow yourself down and you're going to lose so much time and probably even get passed by somebody else behind you. If you block one guy, the guy in third is going to pass you. So everything was about momentum and keeping up to be able to hit these triples out of the corner. For instance, you take off the start, go through that first section. Then you had the triple, triple, triple down that section. If you block a guy, then you have to go double and then triple. You go high, then triple again. So all those things were set up the way that you had a lot of options on this track, but you didn't have a lot of options the way you had to hit these sections. So it kind of made it for you had to get off the gate. And so in the main event, we were in first show because we had Chase, you know, Cooper and Eli, and they were in the heat race too. And what you saw with that, you saw the changing. Yeah, Cooper out there leading, and then you had Chase catch him, pass him, and then Eli got around Cooper. And then Eli said, like, dude, mind control over Devo. I know last weekend I was a little skating on ice. I was a little insecure about what this bike was going to do and not do. I don't know. I was waiting for it rain. Never rained. I just had a moment. And I said, out of all the people were like, oh, man, like, what's going to happen with Eli? Is he going to be worried? Is he going to be worried? And I was like, no, like, he's going to be fine. I actually think, like, Eli had a weekend that was off. Like, his bike looked fine. He looked fine. He just looked like, hey, like, I'm not comfortable. I ain't going to crash. I'm just going to finish where I finished. And that's what he did last weekend at Tampa. So coming in, I didn't have any worries about Eli showing back up and being the same person he was the previous races. And so in the heat race, he served notice that Debo's still here.
Oh, shit. Here come Debo. Give me your stuff.
And the way he passed Chase with some authority in that corner before the second whoop section should tell you all you need to know, he was back. And I think that was, again, Eli was sending a message not only to Chase, but to everyone else that I'm still the same person. And in fact, I'm going to do something that I haven't been able to do in a while is beat this dude straight up in a heat race and just off speed. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I'm going to pass him right now. And I'm not worried about him seeing my lines because I'm Eli Tomac. I'm the champ. I got the red plate and you need to run me down because I'm still that guy. And so when you look at what he did and then you look at what happened last weekend, that's why I wasn't worried because his body language told me and what he was saying in Tampa told me he was going to be fine. Right. He had an off night. It is what it is. But Eli was going to be back. And so I think the cool part, and just getting off subject a little bit, I think the cool part about Eli is that when you listen to him talk, he's very open and honest. Right. Like
Tampa, I was just in a bit of a funk. And hopefully that's the only time we see that.
Just honest. Like, you know, most guys be like, oh man, I don't know what happened. I need to go back, work, get better. I need to do this. Or it was this. Eli just straight up said, I ain't damn. Like, what do you want? Like, I just kind of suck, really. I didn't suck, but I suck. And I know I suck. And that's okay. Like, daddy's fine. His whole body language and when he speaks lately, in the last like year, he's open like about it. Like, he'll tell you when he's going to beat your ass and he'll tell you like when he's going to get it. And I think the thing that makes him tough is that there's no more of this emotionally. Like, he used to have those emotional moments when he would speak, you would talk to a guy that was almost kind of lost, you know, or they would be like, you know, when guys are talking, they talking like this, and they're talking to you, but they're looking up like they're searching for something that ain't there. Eli looks at you and be like, look, I just got fifth. That's it. I didn't feel comfortable on the bike. I ain't like that turn. Johnny was over there crying. I ain't have it. That's it. Like, move on. I ain't got no concerns. And he came up in the heat race. So I think what he did in heat race was showing you he ain't got no concerns. And I believe like that's the part that makes him difficult because he's always there. And that's a confidence that I see in him that he's so confident enough to tell you, you know, hey, I got fifth, but I know what I got. And what I got is still better than what anybody else has. It's just telling you. So I think that's cool to see that and see how his growth on the bike, but also his growth as a person and mentally, and it's kind of showing at the race. That's why when I listened to him at the opening ceremonies last weekend, I was like, uh-oh, like, hey, that dude ain't worried about winning. He's talking about championship.
In my opinion, for myself in my career, the title itself, overall series, is where all the weight's at.
And then he comes back and he was like, oh, last weekend was last weekend. We here this weekend and I'm here to win, right? I'm here to win. And so he was able to do it, but we'll talk about how he did that. So it was good. In the main event, we get Chase, Eli, and Cooper. 1, 2, 3. Cooper jumps out the JS7 quad before the finish line. But you can tell now it's a chess match, like the game's on. And from the last few weekends, I felt like with Chase, he had to overcome what was happening. You know, he was faster than Eli all day long, even though Eli just got him in the heat race. You just had a sense that Chase was still faster, right? Like, you still had more speed. And I think for Eli, he was pumped because he wanted to be in second place. He wanted, like, let Chase do whatever he's going to do. I'm going to keep him close, but I'm going to let him go. And I think Chase is going to start worrying about me, because once the last half part of the race, that's where I come beast mode and maybe he struggles a little bit, right? So Eli was in a perfect situation. I think for him, he was comfortable what was happening. Chase was able to, like, kind of pull away, and you could see the way Chase was kind of riding, like, me visually watching him, like, I felt like he was riding not to crash, in the sense, like, he was riding real, like, little, like, tight in the beginning, like, just stiff, and he was trying not to make a mistake. And when you get in those situations, like, and you start riding to, one, save energy or whatever, not to crash, like, you start, like, you wouldn't believe it. The guy's pulling away from another. He's leading the 450 main event, but he's also, like, saving energy by doing that. Like, he's bringing it down a level, like, trying to just hit his marks, trying to be real calm, slow the heart rate down, slow the breathing. And I think all that was because of what's been going on the last few weekends. Like, look, I've been crashing, even though it's been at the latter part of the race. Like, I know I just need, the more I just ride calm, the better chance I have to just outrun this dude, because I'm faster than him. And if I stay up and I don't make mistakes, I should be able to beat him. And Chase's problem has been that he'll make a mistake and he'll allow Eli to actually make up time on him, or Cooper make up time because he blows a rhythm section or he hits the ground. So when I was watching Chase in the beginning, I just saw him be in that position where you're just trying to slow your heart rate down. And so what was happening was he was able to do that. He made a few mistakes. Track was tough. They all made mistakes. But then it became a point of that race where Eli started watching Chase pull away from him a little too far. Eli didn't like that. And then so Eli came back up. He made some time to come back up. But what it did, the way Chase got in the flow, it made Eli ride harder than he thought he would have or wanted to. And then so it went from, like, Eli allowing Chase to get away from him a little bit, because he knows he feels like I can wear him down. I got the speed. When I decide to pick it up, I can catch him easily. Well, Eli found out that when he tried doing that, like, he was riding a little harder than he needed to, and he wanted to, which put him in the red zone. And then so what you saw was this gap. It was like 1, 2 seconds, then it went to 3, then it was like, then it would go to like 2, then all of a sudden, like, you can see Eli try to attack Chase when Chase got in lappers. It would close down, and then, like, but then Chase or Eli would make a mistake. Then it got up to like 5 seconds, and then Eli tried again to, like, run Chase back down. But I think Chase at that point got into rhythm to where he actually had Eli broken. Like, he broke him. And that's the thing that people don't understand about these races. Like, no one rides hard for 20 minutes. No one. Like, these guys don't race hard for that. Like, you ride hard to be able to recover, and then you have these spurts and moments. So I think the game plan with Eli was, okay, heat race, I got the speed. Chase maybe hasn't been strong as at the end of the race, so I'm just going to relax, just keep him close, keep the pressure on him. Maybe he falls over, maybe he doesn't, but at the end of the race, I'll be right here. And if I need to pick it up, I could just do what I did in the heat race, because I just did it, so I can do that. But Chase was riding at a pace that when Eli went to go do that, it was a lot harder. And then so I think it put Eli to a point to where you can actually see he was like, forget this. All right, this dude hasn't cracked yet. And, like, if I keep riding like this, I'm going to crack. So he actually just kind of gave up. And at that point, this was like a few minutes left. When he did that, that's when Chase hit the ground. And to be honest, you saw this coming.
That was a close one, JT.
Yeah, and Ricky.
Oh, no.
He's down! How quickly can it be up? He was 5 seconds. There's Tomac.
To be honest, you kind of felt like this was coming. You know, Chase, as you started making mistakes, he had the incident over the Dragon's Back where you almost KO'd himself. Then he goes to the whoops, and then, you know, eventually that same lap or right after finish line, he crashes. But he was close to, at that point, like, it's like when he's looking back, I guarantee you say, if I'd have rode another lap, I would have won this race, because, you know, it becomes a point where you're just like, okay, cool, I got this. All I have to do is jump the triple. Like, I could just double through this section, and this dude ain't going to catch me because this guy gave up. And he was at that point, and then he hits the ground. But overall, I think what Eli did in the heat race almost hurt him, in the sense of, like, he thought he was able to sit back and then pick that pace up. Chase started riding better in the main event, and that pace, Chase picked his pace up, which made Eli say, damn, like, it kind of caught him off guard. And you could see him trying, because Eli, I believe he was going for a kill shot in that race this weekend. I think he wanted to send a message. I think he wanted to let Chase know that, look, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not going to wait for you to crash. I can just beat you straight up, because I'm still in beast mode. And I don't think Eli wanted to have that narrative of Chase is faster than him, and that he's got to, it's whether I win this race is going to be dictated off of Chase. Eli wanted to send the message, like it was in the beginning, is that, no, when I go fast, I'm still the best, and I can do that, and I can beat you in a multitude of different ways. I can start out front, beat you. I can come up and beat you. I can wear you down, and if I decide, I can go faster. So what I saw from Eli, the way he was in that heat race and what he was doing in the main event, he was saying that I think he wanted to send that message, and Chase was like, look, nah, bro, I'm still Sexty Sexton. I still got the speed, and this thing's going to be dictated off of what I do on there. So it was cool to watch those guys battling, and bam! Wake up, people. Wake up. I did that because I felt like I was getting a little monotone on there. I wanted to wake you up. Chase hit the ground. And damn, it was like, I don't even know. Like, people give my boy RC, like, a hard time, keep saying, like when he says, like, it's like you're watching a movie just waiting for it, or you're watching somebody to wait for it to happen, like, and they're like, oh man, he's bagging on him. Dude ain't bagging on him. Like, for real. It's like, and you're like, damn, like, I mean, were you shocked that happened? No, like, I mean, what do you want us not do? Like, talk about it? Like, I mean, Chase knows, like, dude, I sit back here as a fan. I love watching these dudes race, but my job is just like most of these guys, is just tell you the truth. Like, if I feel like something's going to come, just like I predicted, like, what was going to happen last weekend at race, did it again with mama this weekend. Like, I think this is going to happen. Like, it's because we pay attention. That doesn't mean, like, I'm, like, wishing or bagging on them. It's just like, look, until you cross the checkered flag, dude can hit the ground at any point. Like, that ain't bagging. That's the truth. And so when he hit the ground, it's like, I felt like there was a pause on the thing. Like, there was a 20-second pause at the race, like, when Chase was on the ground, like, are you, like, kidding me? And I know for him, it's obviously getting mental, and it's a hard situation to be in, because I, like I said before, I don't even know if he knows, like, on there, it's he's hitting the ground, he's like, I don't even know, like, you walking through the whoop section afterwards, like, what are you looking for on there? Like, you got to know what you're looking for. And so, same thing this weekend, he hits the ground after the finish line, but I'll be honest with you, that was because he got tired. Like, that was it. Like, I mean, that section, for those who don't ride supercross tracks and for the average fan out of there, like, that triple and that roller at Florida Mechanics area, or some guys going quad, like, that's hard. And why it's hard is because you're going super fast. And when you land, you actually got to brake. You got to have the clutch pulled in. You got to brake. You got to turn. There's a lot of things, moving things happening at that point. And you're bottoming out, your whole body's collapsing, and you got to be able to hit the rear brake, because you can't hit the front one, hit the front, that thing locks up, and then you jump in like he did and look like Chase when he fell in the whoops in practice. You don't want that one either. So to do that, that's actually a really difficult section. So if you start maybe getting tired and you're not focused where you got to be at all time, little heat shout out right there, you can have this incident happen. And for all those people saying Chase is going too fast, he's overriding, you guys are wrong on there. I almost called you another word, but you're just wrong on there. Dude ain't riding over his head. That ain't like I haven't really seen Chase fall, maybe in practice every once in a while, like maybe just going too hard in the corner. But most of these dudes don't crash because they like, I'm just going way too fast. Like things happen on there and they fall, they push in section to figure out. But you know, in the heat, the race, the main event, these dudes ain't falling because they're going too fast. Like they're trying too hard. They're overriding. You know, situation just happened. Like this situation just happened. He hit the ground. Like, but that all came up because he was starting to get fatigued and you saw it coming when he almost crashed in that dragon's back. And then he had a mistake in the whoops or whatnot. You saw these little things coming. So when he hit the ground right there, he stalls his motorcycle. If you pay attention to him, when he lands off that, he overjumps it a little bit, hold all his weight. It moves forward and down and he slams on the brake. He stalls the bike. And if you know what happens when you, what do you go? Go fast down the straightaway. What do? You hit the brakes. What happens? That thing slides and you do a little brake slide. That's what you try to do, a brake slide. Well, Chase did one in between a rhythm section or a double quad. And that's why when he lands, he stalls the motorcycle and that thing spits him off sideways. That's exactly what would happen if you land. And it's just, it's hard to be, maybe to understand those things unless you've been a rider. But to Chase's defense, it was a difficult situation. It was a sneaky, hard little section on there that it was almost easier to quad in there because you didn't have to worry about that part. But for all those thinking that he was overriding, no, he got tired on there. And just like everyone else in that main event got tired, when you get tired, things happen. And he landed off that. He overjumped it, slammed on the brakes, and it spun him off. Now, I think there's a bigger issue than what just happened right there. And it's the same thing when we go back to Chase. He's made mistakes in every main event this year. He's crashed in all but like two of them, I believe, on there. But if you start going back, Anaheim 1, he struggled at the end part of the race. At San Diego, he struggled at the end part of the race. Even in the Triple Crown, he struggled in that second race, but he went down in the second race that he was leading. So, the proof is like there. And I think Chase will figure that part out. But just on that sense, when you start saying like he's got to finish the last 5 minutes, that's one of the things that he's got to work on. Like, well, that's what happens like right here. He just gets tired. And then we can go back to what we talked about last weekend, you know, bike setup, grip, technique. That's another one. But for all those thinking that dude, just like he's trying to kill Eli, I mean, the same people that said I used to do the same thing and I used to crash, didn't know how to slow down. Like, that's not what was happening. That dude was not overriding his motorcycle right there. That dude, he got tired just like most of these athletes do. Happens. And then, you know, he wasn't thinking. And that was it. He was on the ground. Hit it for him, Cole. Bam! That's what happened. And then he was on the ground. And then he probably changed that B to damn. Like, you know, it was all over. And Eli just came riding around. I mean, you saw what happened to him. Like, dude, like, felt like he was, like, stuck in neutral. Bit, bit, bro. Jumping off the track and all that. And he lucky the web didn't get him on there. So, when I say he got tired, I mean, you saw what happened to Eli then, and then it's not a knock, it's just facts on there, and that's what we do here. We talk about facts. And so, fact is, that bike spit him off pretty quick. And there's a lot of chatter about Chase and possibly even being the motorcycle is the reason why he's falling. And that's not, like, there's areas that each bike works better than others. I would say Chase's rebound is slower than some of the other guys, like per se Eli's. And like when, for instance, like whoop speed, which we'll talk about that in a second, like picking up speed in the whoops, maybe he struggles there. But on smaller whoops like Tampa, his rebound would have been almost better in certain part. So it's give and take, but people are kind of putting his bike is the reason why maybe these crashes are happening. Well, those people are the ones that said like he's going too fast and that's why he's crashing too. And I would just say I have a different opinion than those, not even saying they're wrong because maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I wouldn't say why he crashed right there is not because of his motorcycle or a few crashes I've seen this year. It's not because of his motorcycle. You know, his bike is allowing him to be fast on there and running away from these cats. It's allowing that. But there's a part of the track where when things start breaking down, I do say maybe his bike makes it harder for him. Let's just say that, you know, in the whoop section, I do feel like Eli and the Kawasaki, the Yamaha and the Kawasaki have the best looking motorcycles in the whoops. And there's a point where Jason and even Adam, A little surprising about El Hombre because he rode really well in practice. He rode well in the heat race. I thought he was going to get Kenny. He didn't get Kenny. Kenny won. And that was the end of that discussion. But even with AC looks pretty good in the Wolves. Barsha, Gas. I haven't talked about them much. They probably had one of the best looking bikes out there this weekend. They were running. They bike looked real good in the Wolves. Barsha looked good. But when you watch Eli's, and let's just say Barsha's or Anderson, they're allowed to get into the Whoops. And I think there's two ways. Like Jason and Barsha looks like they just pin it in the Whoops. Like they're so confident in their bike. It's settled. They know what it's going to do, that they just send it into the Whoops. And they don't really have to pick up speed, which they do that as well. But when you watch Eli is able to come out of the corner, set up, make sure it's good, get into the Whoops, and everything's fine. And then what you watch Eli, he'll just kind of move back a little bit and he'll get that bike to sat down and shoot forward. And I believe with him and the way his setup and like Anderson's and Barsha's, they're allowed to get settled and pick up speed, where Chase's bike isn't like that. Chase is better off getting speed going into the Whoops, because if your rebound's not as quick, like it's like you won't be able to make that time up. Once you make a mistake, you lose a lot of time. And if you watch Chase's bike on the Dragon's Back and even in the second set of Whoops, like you can just see it's like he's like hitting and it's like a lot of doom, doom, doom. Kind of like what he did last weekend in Tampa when I was breaking down him and Cooper going over Dragon's Back. There was, you could see Chase like hit every whoop on there. And so maybe that's where his bike is not as good there as Eli. But if he was crashing in that section, then I was like, okay, all right, then he needs to change his setup or make some changes. But the bike's not the reason why he's hitting the ground on there. It's not. His bike maybe is not as good as there, but it's definitely not the reason. I think Chase knows that too. But I also think like when things happen like this, you start looking at everything, right? You start looking at mama, daddy, girlfriend, truck driver, is it the Kool-Aid? Is it Kool-Aid in the refrigerator? Is it a 30-second car, girl? What is going on? So it's not strange that he would look at that and be like, let me explore that. Because when you hit the ground, many times you hit the ground and you hit the ground out of nowhere and you don't know why or whatever, like you start looking at these situations. So I can see the rumblings coming up, but your bike's fine on there. And if that's an issue, then those guys, Lars and all those guys over there, they know what to do on there. But we were just talking, I wanted to say the difference between Eli's and Chase's. People were saying the bike is a little different. They are right. It is different, but that's not the reason why I believe he's fallen at all, because anybody would hit the ground if they would have done what he did after that finish line. Anybody. JSS, I would hit the ground. He would hit the ground. Well, he did hit the ground. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Barsha, his bike looked pretty good on there. He actually rode really well in the heat race. And he was riding good in the main event. And he got a little excursion with AC. Now, AC is still like recovering, people. Like, it's just a bad look. It's kind of like when you take old Shimoda out. Like, why you take Average Joe out? Like, why you take him out? Just bad look. But I do think what happens here is kind of like what happened with Chase and Cooper in the heat race. Like, he goes in there, he makes that pass. Chase actually comes in there with some authority. Hey, you got to make a pass. You got the web. You want to stop him, probably stop him from getting that momentum up that Dragon's Back, because you know he's going to return the favor like when he gets over there, if you allow that to happen. So he goes in there. But from the angle that I see, it's like he hits and then it makes it look like he actually continues to do what Barsha used to do back in the past, which makes you think that he didn't change. I don't think that's what happened. I think he hits that berm, maybe stands him up, whatever. And just what happens to AC, just what happens with Chase and Cooper, where it looks like Chase makes a pass. And then next thing you know, he moves out. Cooper's in the hay bales almost, or the tough blocks. It's the same thing, except for Adam is like, look, I'm trying to give you this. I'm trying to look, I can't go no more. I'm running off the track. Like, Adam ran off the track. on there. Barsha helped him over there. He kind of steered him like them, the airplanes with the things. They like steering you this way. That's what AC is trying to, if he had those things on his bike, he'd be doing that. Like, look, I ain't trying to race nobody. I'm just trying to do what I do. Because once I get everything I need, I'm probably going to be beating your ass anyway. But I need to be here to do that. So AC was trying to do that. Barsha comes in, does what Barsha does. And then it's just a bad look for him. And he's just like, damn. Like, Average Joe, why you take AC out? Why you take Average Joe out, man? That's just a bad look. And so people were all over him about that. But I really don't think it was too bad. Now, he did take out Coke 45. So maybe what I just said, like, kind of absolutes. I just think dude's got to change. But also think, what he did with Anderson, he just looked down and he was like, woosah, woosah. And there's a couple of these other incidents. That's why I see the change. But, I mean, you can't expect the dude to change. He's still, somebody got to get knocked down. And I feel like Coke 45 and AC, like, those are the remnants of, like, look, I can change so much. But I still got to knock somebody down. And that's what I think he'd be doing on there, even though I just said he didn't do that on purpose. But, you know, like, sometimes he'd be like, I'm chained. Bam! And that's what happens. AC was down. And you can see AC just, like, he hits the ground pretty hard, people. Like, it's like when you take out Chisholm, in anything else but the LCQ, like, it's like Chiz. Like, I mean, why you take out Chiz? But that dude's gangster up in the LCQ. Shoot, I know them boys up there when they be seeing number 11 coming on Suzuki in the LCQ. They're like, oh damn! Like, you talking about? I guarantee you, ain't nobody more afraid than Kyle Chisholm in the LCQ. Like, Barsha ain't got nothing on him. The shoot. The only people I got something close on Chiz and how gangster he is when I'm pulling in line to pick up my kid from school and I'm going against them minivan moms. Shit. They gangster up there. I'm telling you, I don't mess with them. I'm messing. You can be on the news like Channel 7, Channel 6, and be watching like, oh yeah, we just had a little school fight. You see Jazz get back. That's what the minivan moms be. Them things are gangster. And that's like Kyle Chisholm in the LCQ. So it ain't, you know. It ain't that. So I think, you know, he's changing. But anyways, your opinion. It's on your own. The talk was about Roczen. And last weekend, he finished top four. He finished fourth. And then he beat the Anderson in the heat race, which was the guy I thought about possibly winning the race last weekend. And one of the title favorites. So Jason's looked good all day. So you would think, okay, he had a good heat race. He was able to do it. Confidence. Things to move forward. And then you have the main event. Now, I don't know if he fell at one point in the main event, but either way, like, he was struggling and he was going backwards. And I think a lot of this stuff, they talk all week about him searching for a setup, and it's all over his face. And what I see is that, like, for sure, like, he's searching. And what I see, they haven't found it yet. They haven't found it. And I don't know if they will, but the point is they're trying. And then, so you got to give Ken credit, because I think not just Ken, but even Larry Brooks. I remember when I raced for him, he's like the, he would make you feel, I wouldn't even make you feel like that. He would try everything. If Larry had to get, trade his mama in, he brought James' mama in on there. He'd do anything, trade his kids to win a race. So the effort is there. And I think that's what you're seeing with Ken. Why he still believes that there's a chance. Because I believe if this was happening on the Honda, he would have been done three races ago. He would have been in the same situation he was, but he's still trying. And I think that's the team around him. Or they're working hard. They're trying everything. And so it makes him continue to try. But they're struggling on there. And I think what you saw in the heat race, it's not Ken. Roczen is talented. Dude's got talent, right? Like, he can go out tricycle and make it look good. So in the heat race, track isn't rough on there. And if you watch Ken, he goes on the inside of whoops. He rots around all those rough plots, all those rough sections where what later on in the main event, you can't get around that because track breaks down. And that's where you have to rely on the motorcycle and the setup to really allow you to be able to not only be able to get through it every lap, but to be able to get through it to save enough energy to be able to fight to the end part of the race. That's what these guys are out here doing on there. They're setting their motorcycle up, not really to go hot lap speed, is to set it up to where they can ride and just be consistent every lap and to be able to fight at the end of the race. So if you can't do that, then what do you think happens? That's why you see Ken in the beginning part of the race. He's still there because he's got talent on there and he's in shape. But eventually it wears on everybody on there. And if the bike ain't working, all that energy that you're using to make that difference up, it just hits you like a brick. Like it hits you to where you see what Ken does. It's like he's there and then he's not on there. And people think it's because he's out of shape. People think it's all these different reasons. But it's like if you're looking at his motorcycle, you can see it coming on there. And that's why no matter what, he wins the heat race. He's like, oh, yeah, it was great on there.
It was all right. I have parts on the track where I just not comfortable and I'm losing big time. So we've been trying to figure it out, but it's been tough.
And no matter if he gets a fourth, they're still searching. Well, he's searching for the last half of that race, the main event. He's searching for a setup that he can feel like he can actually go race, right? Compete and actually physically use his endurance and skills to outrun these dudes. Not speed, but kind of like what Cooper Webb does. He's like in fitness and just be here, become the racer. Well, he ain't racing right now. He's surviving. Sometimes he survives to get a top five, and sometimes he survives and he's outside top 10 on there. And it's the same guy. So it's the same guy that just won the heat race an hour before. It's the same guy that you're watching just drop down the leaderboard. And that usually happens because, again, they're searching for the bike that allows him to race and be able to do his stuff, and they haven't figured it out yet. So I think, again, back to my point with Brooks, he tries everything. And so it makes Ken like continue to try. And I think I said that, but I think that's just a testament of like Larry Brooks, dude's crazy as hell, like crazy as hell, but love working with him. Like he was, when he was on your side, dude, he would make you feel like you sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves, right? Like you just had everything. He was going to do it. If you need to cut his toe off to make, put it on your foot because he thought that would make you better, he would do that. But he would cut his toe off and put it on your foot, which makes you, when you think about it, crazy as hell. But Larry would do that. So as a rider, you got to appreciate it. And that's what Larry Brooks was. So that's what you're seeing with Ken. So you could thank Larry and the whole team for him, like, continue to fight for it. But eventually, you get the end of the main events and reality sets. Toes or not, you're going to end up in 10. The incident that happens with Eli at the end, it's just, I don't know. Like, I think he just, I don't know, makes a mistake on there. I almost feel like he, I remember back at, I think it was Thunder Valley, where we were talking about how Chase got in that free zone. He just had like a little awkward, like couldn't really feel. I feel like that's what happened to Eli, because it almost looks like he hits neutral in there. Like he goes off that jump. And when you were hitting that, you were kind of rolling. Like rolling down that, or at least keeping the back tire, where Eli comes out of that thing and it's like he forgets where he's at and he just jumps. Like he kind of just catches air in this deal. And it's just a weird like hop. And I almost feel like he's, he looks like them dudes that like you watching a video on YouTube and they're like, oh, first time somebody's ever going to ride. And they go like, N-n-n-n-n, and they just gas it and they hit a tree. Well, that's kind of what he looks like. Cause I think he got a little bumped off that or whatever happens, but he gets in that free zone and he just makes a mistake, really not paying attention. I think he was tired just like everybody else on there, but I think that was just more of a lack of focus than anything, not really concerning. And then he almost got, like I said, stung by the web. And Cooper, I'm sure there was some point at that race after Cooper passed Chase that he probably said, okay, second's where I'm going to get. And he probably backed it down a little bit. And then Eli does that, and he feel like, damn, if I wouldn't have backed down, I would have been closer. Or maybe not. Maybe that was all he had. But with Eli, he was one of the ones, when you in the whoop section, I think you get guys who, they got jumpers, and you got guys that are blitz. And they, for a guy to be able to do, like, both, that means you got to have that double D setup, like I always say. And blitzing was faster, and it was a lot more, especially if you, where you land off the big triple turn, hit that double, and if you rail that outside and got that momentum, and if your bike worked pretty good, you can keep that speed up through the whoops, and it was faster, and you just carried the momentum all the way through. But at the same time, it's work on there. It's takes work. So if you can jump, it's just easier. And then so once Chase went down, or even like, I think Eli was switching it up. Like when he figured out he couldn't catch Chase, he was having a hard time catching Chase. I think he switched up to start jumping to see if that's where it was. Cause I think blitzing was quicker, but then he was like, maybe it's the inside. Cause Chase was going inside, like doubling. And the way Chase jumped off the section, he went outside in practice and jumped through the whoops and crashed. He probably was better off going inside, which a lot of people going. So I think Eli was kind of searching for lines. And then towards the end, like it was just easier to jump and he already had Chase. Chase hit the ground. He wasn't going to do anything. So he was going back and forth, but it's rare to have that guy. You used to have one or the other, but it didn't really matter. And the crazy part is with Eli, and I said before, is like when you listen to him, he tells you what's going on. Like you just listen to his words. He tells you like last weekend he was gone. Right. He wasn't even there. He was on autopilot mode. Autopilot gives him a fifth place and that's where you want it. And then he comes in there this week and he just says, down. But you know, beast mode's back. He goes out and goes in beast mode. Like there's only been a few times where I seen Eli send messages. He sent messages last year at outdoors at Indiana when he told Chase, like he went, smoking clutches on that first moto at Indiana. He sent that message on there. Chase got it. He got it. He went beast mode, he ended up winning championship. Then he sent that message, and people think he sent it at Houston. He didn't send no message up there. He got the message, but he didn't go beast mode. He went to Eli. Eli's like, I'm just here. And then last time he tried doing that, he jumped on the hay bale when he was like, I'm feeling froggy. But this weekend, it was different. And he was like, look, Debo's back. Debo's going to sit here, and I'm just going to beat you in the heat race. Because why? Because I'm Eli, and I can just do that. So my point, people, is that when this dude is sending messages, you got to pay attention. And he's telling you what he's going to do. And he told you last weekend. And he told you on Saturday night what he was going to do. And what he was going to do was so special. And just a round of applause. He is tied with the GOAT for most people, Ricky Carmichael, the greatest of all time. Yes. Got to get a man credit. He is tied. I'm next. But thank God for me. So I don't think it's going to be too long, so I don't got to listen to this crap all the time, but he's going to be there. So he tied that record, and he was sick of this. And then the message that he sent was like, I'm Eli Tomac, and I know I haven't been on the Bubba's World, the recap show, but damn, I want a neck burn. What are we going to give him for, Colt?
Suntan, necks on fire.
Necks on fire, neck burn. 48 of them. 48. I still got 50, but you got 48, and you coming. So congratulations, Eli, for being top three. Damn, that dude won a lot. He won a lot. They keep talking about it like he won a lot. And it's weird when I watch him and listen to him. I'm like, that guy, does he win a lot? He's just, he doesn't look like he win a lot. But damn, that dude wins a lot. And he showed you and he sent the message again this weekend that he was planning on winning again. And no matter how close Chase was, he still got that message. I'm still the champ and I got red plate. Congratulations. 48 victories, Eli Tomac. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stu. But until then, well, see, I'm getting a message. We'll be right back. What's up, guys? It's your boy, James Stewart. You see this shirt I got on? Now, I know we all a family. We all be coming out here. Everybody wants to be a part of Bubba's World. I want to be a part of it. Well, if you want to, make sure you click on this link because you can get this shirt. At least you can get this far. We got a bunch of things coming in the future, some exciting things. And I know you send in your videos. Maybe you can end up on the show that way. But if not, always make sure you get this pretty shirt, black and white, and some more coming soon. Click this link right here. Go get yours. All right, people, we back. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stuth and Stuth. Now, again, it's been difficult because we've just been trying to figure out the list. So I'm going to go to the easy side. You know where we go with this. Stuth. Guys that do it better than everybody else. Default, no faults. Guys hitting the ground because it's their fault, which allows you to get a stew or not. And I just feel like I'm going to start a new tradition on the show. It's no more defaults. No more default stews. Like, I know, like sometimes you got to get it handed to you, but you put the pressure on that man to make him hand it to you. So you a stew. And so my first stew is, of course, the Debo. E.T. Extraterrestrial. He went there last weekend, but Eli Tomac was back in beast mode this weekend. And yeah, he came out that first race, the heat race. He showed him, whatever. And then for a while in the main event, it looked like he was just like, all right, I'm just going to let this thing going around. Like, I'm the movie producer. And I know the ending of this movie. I know what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is that credit's going to come on and it's going to say, Eli Tomac, you a stew because you just won. And so that should make you a stew because you're the director of the movie and you knew what was going to happen. So Eli Tomac, no defaults no more, you a stew. Now we other one, we're going to have to go Jet Lawrence because, of course, Donut Boy was back on there. And even though RJ keeps doing RJ type of stuff, you still be winning. And it's just like outdoors last year, you're kind of in the Eli Tomac mode, like you're predicting the future and you know RJ is going to do what RJ is going to do and Cameron is going to do what he's going to do. And what they're going to do is allow you to do what you do best. And that's win. And that's get stews. So Jet Lawrence, we didn't talk about you much, but you a stew. And so for here, just like I gave your brother last weekend, we're going to give you one. Hit him with it called
Suntan. Next on fire.
Congratulations, Jet. Just dominating these kids. They don't even, it looked like you'd be bored out there. Are you bored, son? Because if you are, you a stew. Because that's stew material right there. You'd be like, I'm just bored. I'm just going to play around. But anyways, in my next stew, even though this guy didn't win the race, and even though, like, maybe he wasn't even the fastest. Well, actually, he was not the fastest. But this dude is probably more stew-like than maybe the other two guys besides, like, winning races. And that's Cooper Webb. James. You never really get people to get second place to Stu unless they take out somebody who do something crazy. Well, this dude does it. And the reason I say he's like a Stu is because he did some Stu type of stuff. Come out that corner, hit the quad in front of him, had done it all day. That is Stu. That's like the definition of a Stu. Just what? And then the fact that they didn't do it, nobody else did it again. You didn't have Justin Brayton going out there and hitting that thing anyway. He wasn't there. So Cooper Webb, going out there hitting that quad. Of course you and Stu waited all day long. And they talking about how steep these transitions is. And you go, on there. And you're not even a jumper. But I think that's the second time you've done something like that. So, of course, you and Stu. And that's the special one. So, Eli Tomac, yes, you won. Jet, yes, you won. And damn, Cooper Webb, yes, you won the Stu of the year so far, in my opinion. Because you come out and do some Stu stuff, which is Stu-like. First lap of the main event, just send it. And that's what you did. Yep, you didn't hit the wall, but you sent it. So you a Stu. All right, my next list. Stu. No, we ain't doing that. Like we did last weekend. Of course, there are a lot of people, maybe a little Stu, a little upset. Damn, that track was tough. You had Chase hitting the ground. On there, you had people getting taken out. You had all this stuff going on. So I feel like when there's a lot of things going on, and you try to figure out what's going on. What is that? That is confusing to me. And just like last weekend, that's where we're going this weekend. So my first person who's confused is easy. He was on this list last weekend, and he on this list again this weekend. And that, to me, is Chase Sexton. And why he's on that? Because he still confused people. He don't know what's going on. Is it the bike? Is it me? Is it the TSA lady? Is it the old lady? Is it mama? Is it daddy? I don't know. I keep hitting the ground. I'm going to walk out there afterwards and be like, look at this stuff. And I'm looking at this stuff and I don't even know what I'm looking at. Why? Because I'm confused. And so Chase Sexton, you on this list again? And because you confused. And next, the confusing is Pierce Brown. Now you're like, all right, I'm cool. I'm Pierce. I'm quiet. I'm riding in fourth place. And no, I ain't Michael Mosman. Like, I look like him, but I ain't him. I'm just chilling back here, and I see Cameron, and I know we probably friends, too. We probably friends. We might play Xbox together. I don't know. Maybe you hate him. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe I'm confused. But you out here, and you're like, I'm going to make the pass on him. Because he's starting to, like, he's feeling the effects that happened to him, like, 18 weeks ago, whenever they raced, last time they raced, he hit the ground like Smackadoo does. Damn, that dude tough. And then he comes up, and he passes me. But not only does he pass me, he does that old brake check that Bobby Bonds and Grant Langston back in the day. All my old school races, y'all know what I'm talking about. 2001, Hangtown. You know, the last time you heard Bobby Bonds and OGL did it, the brake check. And Pierce got up like, whoa, like, damn, I haven't had that happen to me maybe like ever. We friends. So he got up, he looked around, he was, well, he could have been on the stew list, but he was confused. Like, did this just brake check me right here? He know my legs ain't that long. You know, it ain't Benny Bloss up here. I can't throw a leg out and catch that. Got me on this berm and you brake checking me. So I'm pissed. But not only that, I'm confused. But I know one thing that's going to be set straight. It's coming back, Smackadoo. Like, I'm just letting you know. I'm telling you. What's, I don't know what they feeding them boys and them gas over there. But them dudes be getting juiced up. And those ain't tight. Because you got the other guy that's going to be on this list too. Even though he ain't riding the gas, he got gas and he took it out, which is Adam Cincerella, right? You on this list because you're like, bro, you know I'm coming back. You know I'm just trying to get all the laps in here and then you're going to take me off the track. When I was giving you the right of way, how you going to take me out? I'm like the 450 Joe Shimoda. I don't say nothing. I don't do nothing. I'm just out here trying to do my thing. And I'm telling you, once I do my thing, maybe that's why he took me out, because he saw me coming. I'm starting to look better than I was, and I'm figuring it out, and I'm going to blast your ass. But until then, I'm just trying to stay out of the way, and then you blast me off the racetrack, and I hit that ground so hard. I'm like, damn, this is just confusing, Adam Cincerella, but you got hit by the gas over there. I don't know what they doing to them boys.
So, bam!
That's pretty much what it was. I don't even know if he hit him like that, but I know that's the way Adam hit the ground. It was bam. You know how you like fall on the corner and you're just like, dude, you kind of just fell over. You're like, hit that ground so hard, bam, in the face of that jump. So Adam, you confused too. So Pierce Brown, I know what you're going to do. Smack the dude. Actually, it's funny. You got the gas taking out the Kawasaki. So I, yeah, damn, it's kind of confusing a little bit. But you know what? I see some payback coming back because you thought, Adam, I know you thought he was changed. He is. He just ain't taking out the guys up front. But until you get up there, look, Coke 45 and all y'all better watch out. He ain't changed that much on there, but he's doing what he got to do. Something you can't ask that man to be that much different on there, but he changed. So confused is Pierce Brown. Why? Because you got brake check. That is old school racing back there. Chase Sexton, because you still on the track trying to figure out what the hell is going on, and you're going to be there until you do. You're going to be confused. And Adam Cincerella, because you letting him go. And damn, I thought this was a changed man. Maybe he relapsed. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't. No, I don't know what he did, but hell, I'm still confused. And that's what this whole segment is. It's confusing. All right, people, that's it from round two. Even though they raced seven times, and like I said last weekend at Tampa, yes, this schedule is confusing. So from round two at Oakland, where we had seven different, like this seven races this season, and you know what? Look, I'll see you guys next week because now I'm really confused. And every time I do this segment, it just makes me that way. So I'll see you when I see you. And when I see you, hopefully it'll be less confusing. Until then. I'm even confused on how to get out. Anyways.